Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
I don't know if there's any like perfect answer to that, but I do know for me, as I went through this, like to just not lose perspective.
Okay.
If you keep your eye on the prize, you understand the vision, what you're trying to create, all the little hiccups, the minutiae, the naysayers, the negative comments, I think it's easier to find an appropriate place for those to go live when you can understand where you're going, ultimately what you're trying to achieve, and you can keep, you know, your eyes on the forest. I think that becomes easier. So just not losing perspective, not losing yourself. You've got work to do. You've got something to accomplish here, and it's important and people care about it. That's okay. That person can feel that way, but we need to move forward. So I think that's important.
Absolutely.
Keeping the perspective so you can protect yourself, protect your energy, and protect the work.
Leading change will cost you something. The real question is whether that cost hardens you or whether you learn how to carry it without losing yourself. Leading change just isn't about strategy, speed, or execution. It's about what happens to you when resistance, doubt, and emotion get aimed in your direction. Because when you represent change, it will cost you something. And too often, leaders are taught to absorb that cost by toughening up, shutting down, putting on armor, or just pushing through. But there's another way to lead. One that doesn't require losing your humanity in the process. In this episode, I'm joined by Jessica Kelleher, a seasoned HR executive and executive coach who has led organizations through growth, disruption, and deep transformation while showing that kindness practiced with intention is what allows leaders to navigate pressure without succumbing to the cost. Jessica is a seasoned HR executive and executive leadership coach with more than two decades of experience leading organizations through growth, transformation, and the inevitable messiness that comes with it. She has scaled organizations across biotech and life science sectors, led post-merger integrations, and served as chief people officer at Cartesian Therapeutics, senior vice president of talent management at Novavax, and she's known for balancing big picture strategy with the human reality of change. Jessica champions one core belief that kindness is not a weakness, but a leadership advantage that builds trust, accountability, and resilience under pressure. Welcome to the show, Jess. So glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So we usually just jump right into it. And you and I talked a little bit about messy moments. So what messy moment are you going to bring us into from your life leading change?
Yes, I think the one that comes to mind for me, and really in any organization that I've ever been with, right, is any of those moments where I've had to lead change, right? Big change, little change. Change can be messy. A few years back, I happened to be working for this biotech company locally, and there was a lot of change happening in the organization. A bunch of leaders all left on the same day. It was a very big traumatic moment for that organization. They bring in a new CEO, and not long after that, I stepped into the head of HR. I was very young, my first time sitting on an executive team. And the board of directors, the leadership team, the new CEO, they are all sort of saying, you know, gosh, we really need to turn things around here. We need to see massive change, cultural change specifically, organizational change. And with organizational change, there's no recipe. There's no right or wrong way to do that. Like it's all born out of what you know about the organization, how it functions, what it values. And having a largely new leadership team, me being new in the HR spot and the company taking a different direction, you know, that was going to be a big undertaking for sure.
Yeah.
And not something I had ever led myself before.
Okay. So you are working for this biotech. You're there on a day and a good amount of the leaders that you have been working with and looking up to are no longer there. All of a sudden, you get a new CEO. You're now on side by side with that CEO as their partner in HR, as the head of HR. And they're declaring, hey, the board and I want to make a cultural turnaround. And you're sitting there and going, what are you going? What was your emotional state at that moment?
Honestly, I was very excited. I knew that was needed. I was very in touch with the employee population. I knew people were hungry for that. They wanted to see change. And so I was like really excited to hear that the leadership saw this as a priority for the business. You can't make organizational change, culture change like that unless you have leaders who are committed to actually doing the work. And so I thought that was great. I think it just aligned really well with what I was really passionate about and what I felt in my heart the organization wanted and needed. So I was excited. I didn't know where to go from there, but I was like, hey, we're going to do this and it's going to be awesome and we're going to figure it out.
Awesome. So a surge of energy, you're like, maybe even, oh, thank goodness. And now I get to be part of this. So there's excitement, some energy. I noticed you were like, even putting your hand on your heart, it meant something to you, right?
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah.
I cared very deeply about the work. I felt honored to be able to lead the charge. And I was given that opportunity to lead the charge. This was probably a few years in the making. Yeah. And you never really stop working on this type of stuff. You know, it's always just taking its next form, its next step in its evolution. We started with, I mean, the very basics, right? Like restating our mission and vision statements. We then used that to springboard us into developing our corporate values. We then took the corporate values, started embedding that in all of the people practices and building leadership and employee development around those. And it just really started to permeate the entire company in a really meaningful way, because we took the time to do those things side by side with all the employees. Everybody was involved. The outputs of that meant something to people.
Yeah.
They felt deeply connected to it because they created it. It was great to see it start to come to life and see the impact that it was actually having on people's experience inside of work, but also outside of work too.
We came in at a messy moment and it's undeniably messy. So to you, like sitting there being like, wait, my whole leadership team just turned over and now we're about to do this. And it felt like we hit fast forward already to all the benefits that you guys were able to weave in.
Yeah.
What was it like for you?
It was not quick. I mean, when you're in the midst of it and you're going through this and it's, like I said, a few years into it. So in it and it's taking all this time people to get on board, you're like, oh my God, like it has its moments of being painful for sure, because you're going to have people who are your early adopters, right? And they're going to be gung ho and they're going to want to do all the things and they're going to want to do it now. On the other side of the spectrum, you're going to have your naysayers, if you will, the people that you need to spend a little more time with, do a little bit more handholding, pouring into those people a little bit more and a little bit more intentionally, I would say, to bring them along. And in that process, I think you're building your tribe. It's the people who are your early adopters, but then who is it that's like not bought into this, that maybe if I spend a little more time with that person, I can convert them and then they're going to say all these great things about what we're doing. And so identifying those people is really important. Taking what you're learning as you're working your way through building your tribe and being strategic about how you're approaching certain aspects of it. And that is not easy and it can be messy. People have big emotions when it comes to this type of stuff.
One thing I love is your energy and enthusiasm, and I can hear it in you how much you cared about this work. Would you mind if we rewound and move forward a little bit in slow motion so people can experience what it was like from the time that you said, oh, great, we're going to start doing this work, yay, through the process of being a leader in this time? Can you walk us through a little bit of what it was like for you and what you experienced?
Yeah. My gosh, what a transformational time for me personally as a professional and as a leader. I'm very grateful because I was given a lot of wonderful opportunities to show up in a big way. And it's certainly working one-on-one with employees when you're going through this, getting a little bit more intimately involved with the organization. But I think too, I was given opportunities to present things at the big sort of all hands corporate meetings. I was given the opportunity to facilitate our offsites where we took the entire company offsite to do mission vision. We did that several times. And I led and facilitated those sessions. I was facilitating sessions with the executive leadership team. So I was given a lot of opportunities to really step forward, be seen, And I'm really grateful for that.
So when we first started, you said, hey, I was relatively new to being the head of HR. Surely you had some prior experience, but now here you are really being in the spotlight. Mm-hmm. All the lights were on you, from presenting in all hands to engaging with people at all levels of the organization, from the executive team and really guiding them through something where there might be big emotions, to all the employees to build mission, vision, values, and help people understand their relationship with it. What was it like to be thrust into the spotlight like that?
It is certainly nerve-wracking. There's all sorts of reasons why people doubt themselves in these moments, right? I think I was lucky enough to be surrounded by people who supported me and would help me through those moments. There were times where I'm like, okay, I just got to step off the curb here. Like, I just got to do it. And my nervous system is telling me, like, see, get that fight or flight. And you're like, oh my God, I can't do this. But I just had to, in some cases, like, force myself. Yeah. And you get more and more practiced, you get more and more comfortable. But also, I think relationships, strong relationships with the people, with your audience, so to speak, is also important too, because you're going to get up there. They're going to give you the benefit of the doubt. They're going to assume good intent. They're going to support you. So before those big moments, I think it's just about, you know, building really good relationships with people, operating from a place of kindness. If people know that you care about them and you're showing up for them day in and day out, they're going to show up for you when you have your big moments.
I think showing up for people day in and day out, I feel that there's a lot of passion here. And I also realize that when work becomes your day in and day out, and you're in the midst of something that is messy without a manual and very situational, it could have its costs. Were there any costs to being in the spotlight leading this work?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Whenever you represent change, it's going to cost you something. There were moments, I think, early on where I was maybe not so prepared for that. I learned as time went on how to be better prepared for that and how to mitigate more appropriately. But for myself, when you are so passionate about something, right, and all you want to do, you know, pour your love into this work and people maybe don't appreciate it, or they maybe have some not so nice things to say about it, that can be like a dagger to the heart. And so I think I just had realized that was more about them and not about the work. Or me personally, it wasn't about me personally. And just to better prepare myself, knowing, okay, this big announcement's going out. I know so-and-so is going to have a major issue with this. Maybe I go talk to them beforehand. Or maybe I can ask them how they feel about X, Y, and Z, and how I might structure my communication effort around that. Let me get their opinions on this. So smooth those things before they even present themselves. And so I just learned, as I worked my way through it, how to navigate that. But it does. It can, when you represent change, you're going to get all the daggers. Everything's going to be thrown at you. And you have to be ready for that mentally and find a place for that to live, because that doesn't have to live in your heart, and it shouldn't.
Yeah, this is a very important topic, I think, for many people leading change in the middle of change. What I'm hearing is you have to love the work and love the people. And at the same time, if you love it too much, it can consume you
or
hurt you. So there's a duality here. Where's the line of being able to be attached enough, but detached enough?
That's such a good question. I don't know if there's any like perfect answer to that. But I do know for me, as I went through this, like, to just not lose perspective.
Okay.
If you keep your eye on the prize, you understand the vision, what you're trying to create. All the little hiccups, the minutiae, the naysayers, the negative comments, I think it's easier to find an appropriate place for those to go live. When you can understand where you're going, ultimately what you're trying to achieve, and you can keep, you know, your eyes on the forest, I think that becomes easier. So just not losing perspective, not losing yourself. You've got work to do. You've got something to accomplish here, and it's important, and people care about it. That's okay. That person can feel that way, but we need to move forward. So I think that's important.
Absolutely.
Just keeping the perspective so you can protect yourself, protect your energy, and protect the work.
I love that you said protect yourself, protect the energy, and protect the work. And it sounds like those three things are interdependent. You have to protect them all at the same time. like a little bit of a juggling act. You were thrust into this exciting opportunity that also came with challenges in terms of being the face of change and navigating. When you're leading, you might be the subject or receive a lot of the doubters or the unhappy feelings, the feelings of loss and grief. They could be directed at you. And one way that you got through that was by keeping your eye on the forest, by keeping your eye on the big vision. What are some other things you did to support yourself as these moments unfolded?
One of the big things I did, I had an executive coach. It's like your therapy at work. Coaching is such a gift. I always had a coach. And like I said before, you build your tribe, your sort of support system. And those can be people that you work with. It can be people outside of work, you know, mentors, right? If you have people who are more seasoned than you, who you respect and can go to, leaning on those people. And I was very lucky through the whole duration of going through that change that I had consultants I was working with. I had an executive coach. I had people mentoring me. I had a great team internally that supported me and people who really believed in the work. While I was the face of it, I had a whole team of people that were behind me and helping me navigate it. And trust me, there were moments where I was like, I need you to meet me at the restaurant across the street because I'm bawling my eyes out.
Okay, I think that's a real reality. It's a real, hey, we're talking about this in hindsight. And sometimes it meant having a cry.
Having a good cry.
Yeah.
But then there is also those moments where you're like getting ready to go walk up on that stage and someone's there with a big smile on and they're like, you're gonna crush this. And you're like, yeah, I'm gonna crush this.
Yeah. And so you feel it all. I think feeling it and divorcing ourselves of our feelings are something that a lot of leaders struggle with. And it sounds like you were able to be with it.
It's important to just have those moments. Sometimes you just have to let the magnitude of the moment just have its way with you. And like, you've got to let those things just circulate through your system and sit with it for a little bit so that you can process it and figure out what it means to you. And again, just coming back to keeping it all in perspective, you get there, but you got to let yourself go through that process.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or by email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
I think that's really wise. When you think about the moments where maybe you rushed past to the next action item, if that ever happened, or the next task, without letting yourself be with the moment, let the moment, the magnitude of the moment, take you and process the things you're experiencing. What was the difference between being with the moment and just passing it up?
I am honestly a person that doesn't often just pass it up. I feel deeply. And I think the benefit of that is you learn a lot. You learn a lot about yourself. You learn a lot about the situation. You have time to reflect. I think if you don't do that, like you're missing an opportunity to be authentic and be vulnerable. And people pick up on that, especially in this type of work. If you're just glazing over and just going through the motions, it's not going to mean as much to you and to the people that are alongside you and the recipient of the outputs of the exercise. So I think it's important not to do that.
That sounds like feeling those things along with the thinking that you're doing, along with the acting that you're doing, like making things happen. That allows you to show up as a whole person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Authentic. Yeah. Yes.
And people do know when you're editing a part, whether it's your heart, whether it's what you're thinking, whether it's the words, they'll know.
Yes. Yeah. People are very intuitive. And it's unfortunate when we don't realize or don't give people the benefit of the doubt in terms of how intuitive they are, because as leaders, you miss a lot and you miss a lot of opportunities to really deeply connect with people. And when you're leading change, I think the connection, that deep connection, that vulnerability, that the relationships you build as part of that process are what make that so powerful.
I'm going to tell you, I have a little bit of hair sticking up on the back of my neck right now, because I think what you hit on is we're missing as leaders a whole bunch of deep intelligence because it's not something we access. And you accessed a lot. You accessed your cognition. you accessed your felt intelligence, the wisdom of your heart. And I think that you're saying when you can touch onto those things, you have so much more at your disposal to lead through these times.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for bringing that to light. And I think it's so powerful that you really tap into all of your gifts as a leader and a human. And sometimes that is being a little bit different, not what the typical leader might be seen for. So as you lived these lessons and you really kept your eye on the vision, tried to keep perspective, and then built that support structure around you from an executive coach to people in your tribe, as you say, that are maybe people that are going to tell you how it is and tell you're going to be okay, or even be like, hey, you better look out for this. Mentors, people outside of work. How has that propelled you forward in your career to today?
Oh my gosh, it's everything. It's everything. Nobody achieves great things on their own. So I think because I've built these relationships, I've been given a lot of opportunities. People have been willing to give me chances, even when I didn't have the experience. Because I had really strong relationships with people, I think that they were willing to let me give it a go. Leaning on the relationships that you have is, it's everything.
It sounds like it's a really important part of how you live your life and how you lead. Tell me a little bit about your, probably it's your natural way of being, building relationships. Mm-hmm. If you were going to take a step outside of yourself and watch yourself in action, how do you go about building meaningful relationships that allow people to trust you to do things that you might never have done before?
I think leading with kindness is a big thing. Being genuine with people, being curious about people, wanting to learn about them and what matters to them, honesty, transparency, very intentional communication. Those are really prominent, I think, attributes that have helped me. When we're talking about people who are on my team and like how I develop working relationships with those folks, and even not even on my team in terms of like subordinates, but also people I've reported to as well, it's just being really intentional about how you're going to show up for one another in your relationship. And this is not something that is what people talk about at work.
I was about to ask you, okay, yeah, that sounds nice, but how does that really work? How does it look for you?
Yeah. For me, for people who are not terribly adept at doing this type of thing, I think you start small, right? How do we best communicate with one another? What are your expectations of me? What are our non-negotiable? Is it okay that I ask you about your family and what you are doing on the weekend or not? I just naturally broaching some of these topics in terms of like how you want to show up. What do you need from me? If something goes wrong, how do I best communicate that to you? Mm-hmm. If you have some feedback to share, just asking like, are you in a place to receive feedback right now? I'd like to discuss something with you. So I think it's just about being intentional and kind and wanting to show up in a way that serves that person.
So there's another ad. So intentionality and kind and in service of the other, not necessarily in service of yourself.
That's exactly right.
Now, you just rattled off a bunch of amazing questions. If I was starting out with a new team member, I would love to have a cheat sheet that said something like, oh, here are some great things I can ask my colleague to see or to set the tone before we get to the moment where it becomes tough. So you said things, remind me some of the questions. Some was start, you said first start small. So name off some of your favorite things to ask. If I only could ask someone three questions that would set us off on a path to a great relationship that works well, what would they be?
I think the first one is about communication, right? So what's the best way for us to communicate with one another? Right. The questions are important, but also what you do with the answers is probably more important, right?
Talk about that.
So if I say, oh, you can just email me, and I just walk away with this like, oh, well, I can just email her, right? So what happens when I email you at 9 o'clock at night and I'm expecting you to respond and you don't? So we didn't actually clarify, right, what that meant in terms of just email me, or if I say just text me and I like I have some sort of expectation when you said that, I've got my own internal expectation, how I'm making sense of what you said that I didn't validate with you.
So be very explicit. That is important. So you might get the surface answer when you first start. So I'm hearing a little bit of encouragement to dig deeper.
Dig deep. Get really granular, because that's where, first of all, it's going to lend itself to an amazing conversation that's going to build trust. Super important. But then you're going to know like the moves. You're going to know all the moves.
How cool is that? So, I wish I had that earlier in my life.
I know, me too. So I think that's one thing. So communication's huge. I think the points of accountability is another of the three questions. That's probably a big one.
Can you talk about it? Because points of accountability sounds big and hard to me. So what does that
sound
like in English? Yeah. Give it to me straight.
Yeah. So I think it's just as simple as saying, like, if we ever find ourselves not on the same page, like, how do we want to handle that? Right. Or if something doesn't go how we think it should go, how do we want to handle that? And again, don't just settle for a surface answer. Get really granular. I can give you an example. I had a conversation much like this with somebody that I used to work with. And this person said, oh, well, you can just ask me where this project is. And I said, okay, if I ask you and things are not on the timeline that they should be on, or a deadline has been missed altogether, like, how do you want me to handle that? And this person says, well, I guess we could follow our disciplinary process. And I said, okay, so just to be clear, if this is not met, then that means that you're okay with the fact that I'm going to have to put you on a performance improvement plan.
It's a big jump, I think, right? From where my head was going.
But like having that level of, okay, just so we know, like in the event that this happens, you're signing on to the fact that it's going to go in this direction. We now expect that from one another. Don't be surprised when I come to you and say, hey, we have to take this step, right?
Yeah.
I think that's really important when things aren't going well, how are we going to handle that?
And the key here to me is you had that conversation before anything even transpired.
That's
before
correct.
There was anything at stake, so to speak.
That's correct.
That is powerful. And I think that points of accountability is, if I was going to say it in plain speak, let's talk about what could go wrong and how we handle it before it does.
Yeah. That's right.
Love it.
That's right. I think that's super important, because then at that point, as a leader, if you're working with your direct report, they're giving you the roadmap of how they want to be treated.
That's amazing. Yeah. It is like the manual to a person in a way, if they're willing to share it with you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
So there was a third. What's your third?
I think the third for me, just because I'm me, I think probably around the how can I best show up, right? What is it that would let you know that you're supported by me? That like, how do you feel like you're getting everything that you need from me as a leader? And you may get all sorts of answers to this. But again, I think it's digging deep, right? It's really digging for the what lies underneath the crux of it, right? So somebody could say, well, I want you to proactively tell me when, you know, things are happening, right? So then for me, I'm sure you can respect in my position, there are going to be things that I might not be able to share with you. So how would you like for me to handle that? Like, how do we want to navigate those situations? You're going to have all sorts of examples in your own world of like how those things show up. Mm-hmm. I would say just be super curious, be honest about what you can and cannot do, and be vulnerable, and just have a conversation about it so you can align. Ultimately, it's all about aligning. So the expectations are clear, they're mutually beneficial, and you both know how you're going to navigate the relationship.
I love it. And one of the things that just stands out to me so much about what you last said is, how would you like me to show up for you? And then when they say something that could be not how you could show up, you're able to have a conversation about, hey, that's something I can't do. Let's talk about what we can do together and what will be supportive with this constraint. A lot of times, many of us are like, gosh, now I have to do that thing. That wasn't where you ended. You said, let's talk more. You did go deep. And that's amazing. I think that's so powerful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all these people are going to be listening to this and saying, I would love to meet her or network with her. Where can people find you?
I think the best way to find me is probably on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So you can just search Jessica Wagner Kelleher name on LinkedIn. So that's the best place to find me. And I look forward to connecting with as many people as I can.
I think that you've opened the door beautifully, because I know that they know now that they'll be connecting with somebody that wants to connect. It's not a, this is not a false requests, y'all. Reach out to Jess. I know she'll want to know you and talk with you, and we'll have how you can reach out to her in the show notes. So today we talked about some amazing things, so many things that really stood out to me. But one of the most important things is, as you lead change, tap into all of your intelligence and be willing to share it with others from a point of kindness. Think, listen to your heart, listen to your gut, listen to your head, and then build a team of folks around you who can help you to navigate the tough times and keep perspective along the way. All wisdom from Jess. So thank you so much today, Jess, for sharing what was on your heart and what was in your head so others can benefit from it today on Transformation Unfiltered. And if y'all liked this conversation, I encourage you to listen to others on Transformation Unfiltered anywhere you listen to podcasts. And if you like this, please share it with folks you think could benefit and please subscribe. Thanks so much, Jess. I can't wait till we get a chance to talk again.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.